Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
Rick Warren has been invited to speak. Dr. Joseph Lowery, who has deeply contrasting views to Rick Warren on a whole host of issues, is also speaking.
We are challenging the inaugural committee's right to invite Christian ministers in. That is un-American. It makes those of us good Americans who don't believe in God second-class citizens. It's unfair.
But of course, we'd be delighted to find just the right pew for the Obama family, should they ever like to worship here.
Well, just because it seems natural doesn't mean it's best for you or society. I'm naturally inclined to have sex with every beautiful woman I see, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
I've come to this conclusion, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but that the full understanding of Christianity is going to take a full lifetime of study.
I know it's been a long time since we've done this. It's a little difficult to get back into the habit, but it is our regular Friday habit to go through some listener email. We always get so much more than we can respond to, and we simply have to find some way of answering back the many who email us every week. That's why we take a little time on Fridays to answer your listener email. We don't get to all of it. We do get to as much of it as we can. By the way, if you have something that is really pressing, a question or a comment or a suggestion that you really want to get our attention with and you want a response to it, you can always call our Issues Etc. listener comment line as well. It's 1-618-223-8384. 618-223-8384, the Issues Etc. listener comment line. But our email address is just as good, and we will try and respond to all that we get. Talkback@issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Listener email here for the first half hour of this Friday show on January the 9th. And then, as usual, Issues Etc. blog of the week. Jeff and I have both been reading the blogs. We pick one apiece, and we choose it as our Issues Etc. blog of the week. Then we post it at our website. And then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have four excellent soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. It's our first week live back from the holidays. And so we had some excellent guests, some conversations, and we gleaned four soundbites for you to listen to and vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Or talkback@issuesetc.org. In the second hour of the program, a rare and a distinct privilege. We're going to have a roundtable of journalists talking about the top religion stories of 2008. Here in the studio, Colin Carroll Campbell and our regular guest, Uwe Simonetto. And then on the phone from Washington, D.C., Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of GetReligion.org. We're going to talk about the top 10, or as many of the top 10, religion stories from 2008 as we can in that reporters and journalists roundtable. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org.
You know, we did do email on Monday, remember?
We did?
Yeah, this week. Right, first show we came back.
You could knock me over with a feather. We did email on Monday for
yes,
a whole hour.
For a whole
we did
hour.
Email.
That's right.
Well, we still have some to catch up
That's
with.
That's right. Oh, yeah, we got plenty. Nathan in Minnesota writes, Todd stated, "It's a guest-driven program. Anyone could do what I do," end quote. "Someone hit Todd over the head," Nate writes. "He's one of the most informed regarding the zeitgeist, genuinely curious, intellectually persuasive, and pastoral persons that I know, if I can say I know him. Thanks, Pastor Todd, for all you do and to those around you who make hearing your voice possible." That's from Nathan in Minnesota.
Were we talking about the show being guest-driven? And its great strength being that it is driven by guests and the topics that they bring their expertise to. I stand by that 100%. And when I say anyone could do this, okay, perhaps it's a bit of an exaggeration. But Jeff, you've worked with some radio talents in your day. I mean, we're talking about real professional and professionally trained radio talents. And be honest, when I first sat down at this microphone, what, 10 years ago, I think your expectations or your hopes for me were not extremely high. I had big shoes to fill, right?
Yes, but I knew you had talent because my sister called you, heard you on another program on KFUO and said, you need to listen to this guy. Here's Don Matzett's replacement. So you had talent.
But it's a big difference sitting behind the microphone as the guest and sitting behind the microphone as the host. Okay.
Very much so.
I actually find it much easier to be the host than to be the guest. That's why I say anyone could do this.
That's not true.
Not just anyone, but I think any pastor worth his salt who knows how to put two words together and who can be taught over time like I was to think one thing and say another thing for two solid hours, which is what hosting a radio program is all about. It's about thinking one thing and saying another. That is controlling your thoughts, but also being able to read what the producer's writing on the screen and then say something else while you're reading that. And it's an acquired skill, but this is not rocket science. Anyone who tells you it is blowing smoke at you. It's a great privilege. Don't get me wrong. But at least I'm not. Don Matzett just used to say he was a trained chimp, didn't he?
He said it was I think it was either a puppet on a string or a chimp behind a mic or something like that.
or a puppet of a monkey on a string.
But that's not true. Todd's got lots of talent, and he's not gonna tell you that. But it's true, and we all know it. So let's move on. Let's see. Kevin in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Anyone can do it. Go ahead.
No, not true. Men in Church, our interview earlier this week with Men in Church. Kevin's got some great insights. Says many churches, by and large, have focused on, quote, relationships, end quote, putting toward touchy-feely theology. What's been ditched, Kevin writes, many churches have traded the objective external means of grace in order to meet with God for subjective internal sacraments, songs, actions, feelings that are considered to be ways to feel closer to Christ, times and places God hasn't given to us. But in this vein of thought, he should have. As a result, instead of the objective external, you can trust your car to the man who wears the star, meat and potato certainties of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:3, men are left with, I'm feeling a feeling, certainties that just aren't all that certain. A second thought, Kevin writes, is the way we've been taught to pray, eyes closed, head bowed, voices inflected so we can really mean what we're saying. We're told to make up prayers on the spot, something which as a pastor I really don't like because I sound so puny. What does the Bible teach? Look at the boldness in prayer shown in the Psalms. Look at Jesus' boldness in the Lord's Prayer. Look at Paul's words in prayer. Prayer isn't this God is my buddy, but my Lord Jesus, King David, St. Paul, and a lot of other folks shook their fists at God in the Bible. They were outspoken with God the Father, calling him to keep his promises. Could that be me? God even gives us a guide to pray. It's called the Bible. I believe a return to heavy-duty sacramental practices means God smacking us on the back of the head and saying, I'm here, as opposed to the goofiness that many of our churches have embarked upon. It's not dead orthodoxy or tired forms, but the true living God staking himself to his word. What could be more manly? And Kevin concludes from Corpus Christi, Texas, by the way, good to have you all back on the air again. Between y'all and the White Horse Inn, I have plenty of stuff to chew on while I'm walking the dogs in the morning. Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin, thank you so much. Thanks for listening in Corpus Christi. The term that he uses there, that technical term, goofiness, that pretty much says everything that needs to be said. And not to belabor a point, but listen to what this one of the smartest listeners in radio wrote there. Anyone can do this. I mean, that's a listener who articulated better than I ever could in a shorter form so much of what we try to do when we talk about the feminization of Christianity. But yes, you're right. You're absolutely right, Kevin. If you abandon the God-given sacraments, the Christ-instituted sacraments, preaching, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the word of absolution, when the church abandons those, it substitutes for those God-given sacraments man-made things, be they emotions, songs, new methods, persuasion, marketing, whatever it may be, all of those things rush in to fill the vacuum that is left when the church abandons the God-given, Christ-instituted sacraments that bring true certainty. The sad thing is that man-made sacraments, like how you feel and what you're singing and whether or not the praise band is good-looking enough or any of those kind of things, the lighting, think of all of the manipulation that's going on out there in the church to try and get people to feel a certain way for an hour every Sunday morning. lighting, big screens, everything's got to be coordinated down to the second. It's all highly manipulated, highly produced, like television practically, to evoke a response that doesn't give any comfort, that disappears when the lights go out or the music fades, or you're no longer looking at a beautiful lead singer in a praise band. It all disappears. God's sacraments, they may not or they may affect you emotionally, but they do give genuine, unshakable certainty. Another email?
Dawn in Horsham, Pennsylvania writes, I just want to say that I love your show and its focus on Christ and the cross as the center of everything. You're a huge reason why I am now pretty much a Lutheran theologically and probably soon to be officially, having been a Baptist-type non-denominational evangelical all my life. Keep up the good work and may God continue to bless what you're doing. That's from Dawn in Horsham, Pennsylvania.
Yet another listener, and we hear so often from these listeners who have been captivated not so much by this show, but again, I must emphasize, have been captivated by what this show brings, that is, a message that is Christ-centered and cross-focused. I maintain, while the gospel will always be foolishness to Greeks and a stumbling block to Jews, and you can put yourself in whatever category you want to there, while it'll always be foolishness and weakness to the ears of those who do not believe, to those who believe it is the power of God and the wisdom of God, and lay before starving Christians who really do starve for hunger and thirst for righteousness, the righteousness that is not their own, you lay before them the perfect righteousness of Christ in his life, in his sacrifice, in his obedience, all as their substitute. You lay that before a starving Christian who's been basically gorging themselves on their own man-made righteousness and finding that it offers no satisfaction and does nothing to nourish them. You offer them Christ, and they'll leave behind all the man-made nonsense and fluff because they found, finally, the real thing. We'll be right back with more email. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Marianne Zog, Cindy Myers, Tracy Williamson, Kelly Pitrick, Dennis Wegner, Barbara Breeden, Lydia Ecken, James Basinger, Daniel Kroger, and Dylan Chan. Thanks for your support.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul. Often imitated. Never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies, whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day. Issues take them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
And I said, so you're telling me that raping women for fun is a personal preference? He said, yes,
And the women that were observing this conversation caught that immediately. And boy, did they have some things to say to that young guy.
He's ready to die because he knows that his Redeemer now is in flesh and blood, and that every promise of God will be fulfilled in him. This is the one who will trounce on death and leave it in the dust behind him.
Violence in Gaza is becoming a great challenge for those of us who are moderate religious leaders.
If you hear in preaching or if you hear in a Bible study the emphasis on the lived Christian life as what Christianity is really about, then you probably stumbled into a place that's been influenced by pietism.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Just a sampling of today's soundbites. In about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, we'll be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, 1-877-623-6943, live this Friday, January the 9th. Your chance to play soundbite of the week coming up a little bit after, well, we'll have Issues Etc. blog of the week, soundbite of the week, and then in hour two of the program, a roundtable of journalists. Boy, this is an honor. Right here in studio, Uwe Simonetto and Colleen Carroll Campbell, both journalists in this area. Uwe, an international journalist as well. And then on the telephone as part of that roundtable, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, a contributor to GetReligion.org. We're going to go through as many of the top 10 religion stories from 2008 as we can. And we'll want to hear from you, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org.
Here's a question on baptism from Aaron. He said, I loved your discussion on December 9th, along with the other two parts with Dr. Andrew Doss regarding infant baptism. Thanks for covering this topic so thoroughly. My question is this. What do you say to people who, when confronted with the plethora of scripture which discusses God's saving power and grace in baptism, consistently redefine the word baptism to refer to the spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit? Though I've discussed with people the actual definition of the word baptism and how it's incorrect to redefine it according to its earlier root, bapto, I'm not sure what to say to those who reject infant baptism because they believe baptism's only real effect is symbolic and is based upon one's personal profession of faith. Quoting scripture doesn't seem to help. They redefine the words to fit their perspective. Addressing the historical perspective of the church, especially the first four centuries, also seems to fall on deaf ears. Is there a way to show people that the references to baptism, as it appears in 1 Peter 3:21 and other places, are not solely a spiritual reality, though the spiritual renewal is present, but also refer to the physical application of water with the Word of God? And that's from Aaron. Thanks for the email, Aaron.
Okay, that's a great question, Aaron. Thank you very much. First of all, there is such a thing as invincible ignorance. That is, someone knows that they should know better, but they refuse to know better. They are so wedded to a particular error, like water baptism is ineffectual or a symbol or something like that, that in spite of the clear and plain language of the many passages that put water and word together in a powerful way for the forgiveness of those who are baptized, and the passages this multiply throughout the New Testament, in spite of all of that evidence, invincible ignorance cannot be, well, that's what it is by definition. It's invincible. It cannot be overcome. Now, there may be another tack, and perhaps rather than trying to show them that it is, that baptism in the New Testament is in fact, Christian baptism is water, God's word applied to sinners for the forgiveness of sins, delivering the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ to that particular sinner. Rather than taking that tack, perhaps you might simply begin in a different place, that is, with the gospel. And I would not have come up with this on my own. This is an insight provided by, I think, Brian Wolfmiller, a regular guest on this program. Brian talks about his former days in evangelicalism when he spent a lot of time ignoring passages about baptism because he didn't know what to do with them. You know, he was a little more honest than most. He knew that it couldn't be what Lutherans or Roman Catholics said it was. It couldn't be water, word for the forgiveness of sins. And it couldn't be what Scripture seemed to be saying, so he just ignored the passages. And then when he began to grapple with the sheer grace of God, that it is all God's work and none of his cooperation, then suddenly realizing that the gospel is so very sheer, the gospel is so very free, it began to suddenly make sense to him that a means by which God delivers this gospel and speaks this gospel to sinners should put the sinner in such a passive position, so that something as humble as water with the spoken word of God could in fact do what Scripture says God does through this. Or you could try this tack. You're telling me that God, through speaking his word, can make the sun wink into existence in a single instant, that he can create the entire universe of stars by simply saying, let there be, that he can do such things with his word, and yet with his word and simple water according to his command, he cannot forgive the sins of a single sinner through the blood of Jesus Christ? It's really not a question about what water can do, but what God can do. I hope that helps.
Here's an email from Bishop Carolyn Arnett. Not sure what kind of bishop she is. I did reply to her email. Thanks, Ms. Arnett.
Well, some men are named Carol, you know, Carol O'Connor. Could be a guy.
Oh, Carolyn?
Is it Carolyn?
Yeah, Carolyn. Hey,
I know men named Marilyn, too. So we'll leave the gender
Okay. Carolyn Arnett, I'm very pleased to read your teaching on the rapture theory. I personally do not believe in the rapture theory, for in my study of the Bible, I did not find those teachings to be true regarding the rapture. I first was quite disturbed within myself concerning all around me believed in this theory, but I could not, so I began to pray and ask God about it. I soon heard a teacher from television speak against this theory of the rapture, and I said, finally, someone else is on my side of the thinking. So years later, I read your teaching. May I say it was very nicely explained and very thought-provoking and revealing, and scripture originated to support your reasoning. This is why I'm a producer and Todd is the host and says it takes no talent to be a host. I believe I couldn't have done it better. It's clear enough for a child to understand. Many thanks to you, and may God richly bless you in your endeavor to bring scripture's truths to the world. That's from Bishop Carolyn Arnett.
Thank you very much. And it also might be that the first name is Bishop. I mean, that could be a possibility too. Okay. I have no theory of the rapture because scripture does not support a rapture. And while I'm very happy to hear that the listener there finds it edifying, technically speaking, there's no theory of the rapture because there's no scriptural support for such an idea. Namely, that there's going to be a secret rapture of the church at some point in God's final days, and that only the church will be caught up to be with Christ and either escape or half escape, some sort of a tribulation. What is taught in the book of Thessalonians that many people attribute to a rapture is, in fact, the second coming of Christ. He comes once. And that's it. And when he comes, as the church has confessed consistently from its earliest days, even from the time of the apostles, he is coming again to judge the living and the dead. And they don't bother to mention a rapture because they simply know of no such event.
Jeff in Philadelphia, regarding our interview on the Lord's Supper with Pastor Tim Pauls on Monday, he says, even if the new covenant was instituted at the precise moment of the supper, there would still be overlap based on the explicit statements of Scripture. If the Mosaic law is still in force, you can't drink blood. Now, one also has the additional burden of trying to explain why many Jewish Christians still thought the Mosaic law was in effect, even Peter until his revelation, and why the church asked Gentile Christians to abstain from blood in Acts 15 if they believed in the real presence of the Lord's Supper. That's from Jeff in Philly.
Well, it's the difference between what blood and what institution. The reason that the apostles will admonish the believers in Acts 15 from partaking of blood is because they do not want to cause offense to those who are still burdened wrongly in their consciences by the tenets of the old covenant. That's why they say don't partake of something that's blood or of anything that's strangled. Why? Because both of them were associated with this pagan sacrificial system, and both of them were forbidden by the Old Testament law, and they were still Jewish Christians from their Hebrew and Jewish background who had not yet surmounted the hurdle of offense on those things. And Paul's pretty clear about this elsewhere when he talks about eating meat sacrificed to idols too. Now, if we're trying to kind of draw a timeline on when does the new covenant kick in, Jesus says, take and eat, this is my body given for you. Take and drink, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Present tense, this cup is the new covenant, the covenant that they had been waiting for, Jeremiah 31. In those days, I will make with them a new covenant. Where does that happen? It happens in the person of Jesus Christ. When does the new covenant, when is it inaugurated? It's inaugurated in Christ. We cannot simply point to one thing and say, okay, at this moment, Jesus suddenly switched from old to new. With his arrival here among us, he is the new covenant. And wherever he goes and whoever he touches becomes part of the new covenant. And a good example of this is one thing quite clear in the new church. Don't talk about drinking blood. One thing quite clear. If they still believe that the old covenant was in force, why were they willing to allow Paul to leave men uncircumcised? If they were like, well, we don't know if the new covenant's of the old covenant's over, they would have said, everyone needs to be circumcised. Look at Acts 15. What do they say? No one needs to be circumcised. But if there are people out there who are offended by what you eat or your dietary habits, please continue to observe their consciences. So if you're trying to undo Jesus' words, by the clear words, by the Old Testament law of not to drink blood, when he says, drink it, it's the new covenant, it's for you for the forgiveness of sins, you got an argument with Jesus. We'll be right back with Blog of the Week and Soundbite of the Week. Got to get back to my baby again. Gone, the days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues, Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues, Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues, Etc. bumper or window sticker.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A woman has come forward after a recent botched late-term abortion at George Tiller's abortion mill in Wichita, Kansas. After the initial abortion, she could still feel the baby move in her womb. The abortionist said she was 19 weeks along, but she was 23, past the legal time limit. George Tiller did the second abortion. The woman's mother was present and said she witnessed what is described as a partial birth abortion procedure. This is also illegal if the baby was still alive. Instead of calling an ambulance, Tiller drove her to the hospital himself but had trouble seeing, so an abortion mill staff member had to direct him through traffic. All of this happened in what the abortion industry calls a safe and legal abortion mill. You be the judge.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Stephen Womble, Nicole Desmaris, Stephen Hernandez, Donna K. Despain, David Bestel, Lucille Block, Stephanie Bestel, Warren Block, Kathy Poindexter, and Danny Walker. Thanks for your support.